is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. The church purchased the plants you see around here and there and in the back, and those are for the mothers. And I think we have plenty for everyone. The Hanley boys might even be able to take one over, take one home to their mother. So you guys make sure you do that. And if I forget, but I probably won't forget since they're in the back there, but you ladies help yourself, you mothers help yourself to those when we leave today. Yeah. Well, Greg, go ahead.
Hey, how about your mother? Praise the Lord.
I don't know what we'd do without a mother.
Praise the Lord.
We wouldn't be here, would we?
That's right.
Amen.
Always think of B.M. Page around Mother's Day. He preaches a message, the sweetest thing God ever made was a woman. And he asked the congregation when he was preaching the message, how many of you had a mother? And it was unanimous. Everybody had a mother. How about that? Well, I changed my message three times. I had intended and printed off a message to preach on not being able to endure the punishment of your sin, but that just sounds like a real mean message to preach on Mother's Day. And so I printed out a different message this morning. It is one that I have preached before, but it has been quite some time, and it's a much sweeter message geared towards Mother's Day. I have entitled the message, The Love or the Sacrifice of a Mother. And so to get us started, let's read from John chapter 15. If you would stand with me, we'll read verses 12 and 13. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Let's pray. Lord, again, we are grateful to be assembled together in the house of God this morning. And I pray, God, you would help us to concentrate on this portion of Scripture and the truths that are to be conveyed. And that, Lord, we'd be helped. Lord, I pray that you would give a special blessing to the mothers who are present in our service today. We're thankful for the sacrifices that they have made for their children. And I pray, God, that you would even encourage our young ladies this morning to grow up, to fear and to serve you in a capacity that would help and enable their children to be saved and do the same. So God, just bless now in this message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The world's use of the word love today is something that is foreign to the Bible. Sometimes people will say, especially in Indiana, "I love race car driving." Or maybe someone else would say, "I love ice cream." But I think there's probably a better way to express what somebody is feeling about those things. Maybe they should say, "I enjoy race car driving." Because when you understand what the word love means, at least biblically, I don't know that it's really possible to love race car driving. Others appear to use the word in its proper context when they say, "I love you," to their newly married spouse, and yet that love seems to only last a few years in many instances. So can this properly be said to be love? You know, while the world may be confused about biblical love, the Bible believer has no excuse. For the subject of love is addressed over and over again in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, "The first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself." And he even expressed what that meant when he gave to us the parable of the Good Samaritan. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." There's a demonstration of true biblical love. Romans chapter 13 tells us that the entire Old Testament can be summarized with love. Because if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him. You won't covet his possessions. You won't murder him or commit adultery with his or her spouse. And 1 John 3 and 4 deal with the subject of love, and it says that we can tell that we've been passed from death unto life when we have love for the brethren. And then there's that chapter that perhaps is the climax of charity or love, 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us very specifically how it is that love behaves. It suffers long. It's kind. And the list goes on and on. Jesus here in our text, first of all, gives a commandment. He says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." And then he gives an illustration of love, if you will, and says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Love is action. Here it's seen as someone who sacrifices his own life for that of another. This is love. And Jesus said, this is the greatest kind of love. And so in honor of Mother's Day, again, I would like to preach on the subject of the sacrifice of a mother. Perhaps the type of love illustrated in our text is demonstrated adequately in the actions of a mother. While she does not sacrifice her physical life, she undoubtedly sacrifices. A mother sacrifices her body to give birth to her child. I know you're aware of what Genesis 3:16 says, but let me read it nonetheless. "Unto the woman," he said, God said, and this was after Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children." As a result of woman's part in the fall, God gave a curse to her. The sorrow in giving birth to a child was to be greatly increased. Normally, women approach the subject of childbearing in a positive manner, but not everything about giving birth to a child is positive. Just ask a mother, especially those old-time mothers, before they had epidurals and those kinds of things. I tell you what, my wife, she becomes a different person when she's in labor. It's really one of the only times that my wife is completely quiet, is during childbirth. I guess the pain is so excruciating that she's quiet. It wasn't that way the last time because she used the epidural. She cheated. Told her she didn't need me anymore if she had epidurals, because there was no pain. But the first six were all given birth to naturally. And I think my wife would testify that not everything about giving birth to a child is positive. And here now I'm not just speaking of my wife, okay? I'm speaking of women in general. But a woman that gives birth to a child, she does sacrifice her body. Most of the time, a woman will gain weight, okay, when she gets pregnant. And not just because the baby's growing in her belly. Many times that weight is carried with her long after the child is born. There's a lady that I worked with, and I don't know if it's appropriate for me to say this, but I know it just by listening to some of the other guys that I work with. But this woman was an attractive woman. And I say was. And that's because she got pregnant. And when she got pregnant, it greatly transformed her. To where when I saw her, and she had to have been about 6 or 7 months pregnant, when I finally saw her, she looked like an entirely different person. Beforehand, she always had makeup on. This particular day, she didn't have any makeup on. And so, and I don't know if she had blemishes before and they were just hidden, but now you could see them. I mean, and she had gained weight, not just on her belly, but everywhere else. I'm just saying that giving birth to that child was causing her to have to sacrifice her body. A woman many times will incur stretch marks on her belly because of a pregnancy. Her feet will swell. Her bones later on in life have problems because those babies draw the calcium out of her body. Many women who get pregnant begin to have thyroid and diabetes problems. And maybe because of these things, many women, they refuse to have a baby. My wife and I, we went to grade school, junior high school, and high school with a certain girl, lady. And she had said in the past, and it's hold true, that she wasn't going to have any children because of the effects that it would have on her body. And she's a little bitty thing, just short and skinny, exercises all the time. She wasn't willing to sacrifice her body to have a child. Recently in the news, I don't know if you've ever heard of the show The Biggest Loser. It's a good name for a show, isn't it? The Biggest Loser. But it's about people who try to lose weight. And so whoever loses the most weight, I guess at the end of their season, is the winner. And there's a particular, I've never watched the show, but I have family members who do. And so they do talk about it from time to time. And you can't help but see different things about the show on magazines and such. And recently on the news, there was a story about one of the trainers on the show. I was trying to think of her name this morning. I don't know if I can remember it correctly, but it's Juliana or Julian. And she's a trainer, and so I guess she has taken care of herself. And she said a couple weeks ago that she wouldn't have a child because she was afraid of the effects that it would have on her body. And of course, this was met with outrage amongst all mothers. It really was. Some people kind of thought, wow, that's rather selfish. I guess it is rather selfish. But it just demonstrates how much love a woman has for her children and that she sacrifices, quote unquote, her beauty, sacrifices her body many times in order to give birth to that child. But it's not just a woman's body that she sacrifices when she gives birth to a child. Many women sacrifice their gain, their dreams, and their ambitions for the gain of their child's life, quality of life. In Titus 2 and verse 3, it says that they, the aged women, are to teach the young women to be keepers at home. 1 Timothy 5:14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and then notice this next phrase, guide the house, that they give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know, again, a woman many times forfeits a career. She forfeits worldly advancement so that her children will have a better quality of life. And may I say to all of the young ladies and women here, don't buy into this feminism movement. They act as though there's something better out there for women than staying at home and guiding the house and supporting their husband. But I don't think that there's a higher calling in life for a woman than to support her husband, to raise her children, and to love her God. Mm-hmm. And many women, understanding that, they make sacrifices so that their children could have a better life. Instead of giving them $5 to buy their lunch, they pack them a lunch and give them their lunch boxes each day. Instead of putting their kids on the bus, they take their kids to school. Instead of sending them to daycare after school, they're awaiting their kids' return. Of course, some of you homeschool, and that's irrelevant, but not everybody does. Mothers rather than working their way up the corporate ladder, they drive their kids to their different activities. And they're always there when their child is in need. Thank God for mothers.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I'm glad that my mother decided whenever I was little to stay home with me. I don't know what it's like to be what they call a latchkey kid. I don't know what that's like. Because every day when I came home from school, my mother was there. Every day that I woke up, one of the first faces I saw was my mother. And I'm grateful for that. I don't know that I probably even understand all the positive consequences for her doing so. But I tell you what, I would encourage each and every mother to strive to be the best keeper at home that you can be. I know that will mean you sacrificing sometimes your own desires, but you're sacrificing for the betterment of your children. And I thank God for mothers who do that. They sacrifice their ambitions, their dreams, their advancements. Why? So their child can have a better way of life. And you children that have such mothers, you should praise them and thank them for their sacrifices. A mother, she sacrifices her body to give birth to her children. She sacrifices her gain to better her child's quality of life. But she also sacrifices her leisure for her child's comfort. In Proverbs 31 and verse 15, and you'll understand that chapter to speak of the virtuous woman.
Yeah.
It says of her, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You notice that? She ariseth also while it is yet night. Those of you that have had small children, you can understand, you can relate to that very well, can't you? Because the baby is not so considerate to let you sleep all night. He doesn't say, "Mom's tired. She's worked hard today, and I'll just wait till the morning to eat." No, the baby doesn't think of Mom's best interest, but Mom thinks of baby's best interest. And in the middle of the night, when that baby is hungry, she'll feed it. In the middle of the night, when that baby needs a diaper changed, she'll change it. Why? Why does she sacrifice her comfort, her leisure, her rest? Because she loves her child. It is true that a mother's work is without end. She has laundry to do. My kids say she does. Well, she passes that along to the kids eventually, but in the beginning, she's got to do it all. And then there's cooking, sewing, shopping, Band-Aid, lots of Band-Aids. There's no vacation for a mom. No weekends. No holidays. It's a 24-hour-a-day job. But a mom doesn't mind. She doesn't mind to sacrifice her leisure for her child's comfort because she loves her child. But you know, this is not all done without any personal benefits to the mom. A mother enjoys her children. She loves her children. And they, in return, love her. It makes the sacrifices much more endurable when that little child grows up and gives mom a big hug. She gets such great joy out of her children's cute little novelties. She enjoys getting the little pictures. The dandelion. I wouldn't really call them flowers. But she enjoys that. And it makes her sacrifices worth it. Mothers, then many times as their children grow in years, are exalted. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. She's praised and she's exalted by those whom she sacrificed for when they realize all that she did for them. So her sacrifices are not done without any personal benefits. A mother, she sacrifices her body to give birth to her child. She sacrifices her worldly advancement, her dreams that her child might have a better quality of life. She sacrifices her leisure, her comforts, to bring comfort to her children. I want to take you back to our text for a moment. Because in Jesus' commandment, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. And then he says, as I have loved you. He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Do you realize that a mother sacrifices in many respects in the same way that Jesus Christ sacrificed for us? He sacrificed his body for our birth. He allowed his body to be hung on a cross, and he died there so that you and I might have hope of a new birth. He sacrificed his gain for our quality of life. He left the glories of heaven and he came down to this earth, he says, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He's more interested in our comforts than he is his own. He sacrificed his leisure. It says he endured the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. These sacrifices that Jesus Christ made, they don't go without personal benefits either. Because when we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, we praise him.
Yes.
We exalt him. And we, in return, for the love that he showed to us, we love him as well. You know, once a child has matured and grown in years, he no longer seeks mom for what mom can do for him. He or she seeks mom for who she is. Remember Brian McBride talking about that out of Psalm chapter 131. A baby loves mom when it's little because mom gives it milk. Mom gives it food. Mom gives it attention. When that little baby grows up, it just loves mom because that's mom. Not because mom's going to bring it gifts, but because it's mom. Because the baby realizes now that it's all grown up, that mom sure made a lot of sacrifices for it. Likewise, the believer who has matured should look at what Christ has done for them and love him not just for the benefits that he gives, but for the Savior that he is. Jesus Christ loves you. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? He loves you and that he gave his life for you.
Amen.
Sacrificed his body. Sacrificed his comforts, his leisure, his place in heaven, that you might find a home in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says to each and every one of us to go and do likewise. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, Jesus here calls on us to sacrifice for one another. Thank God that mothers do that for their children. But you know, we're supposed to do that for one another. And I'm talking about those of us that are saved, and we're supposed to sacrifice for those that aren't saved.
Mm-hmm.
Think about some of the missionaries we support. They gave up everything to go to a foreign country to give those people the opportunity to be saved. They're following Christ's example, and they're sacrificing their worldly comforts for the sake of others. That's an honorable thing. And we should strive to do it in our own lives. We might not feel comfortable sometimes going to people and talking to them about the Lord. Maybe that seems strange to us. Well, I'll tell you what, we should do it so often that it becomes unstrange. Again, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus Christ loved us by sacrificing.
Yes.
And we're supposed to do the same. And again, thank God for the mothers who sacrifice. You should be grateful for your mom. If she sacrificed her body to give birth to you, if she sacrificed her aspirations in order to bring you a better quality of life, you should thank her for it. If she sacrificed her comforts even when you were young, and I'm sure after you were a little bit older, you should thank her for it. Thank God for mothers. You know, when I think of a mother, there is an example of the mother in the Godhead, and I don't in any way mean to convey the idea that God is feminine at all, because he's not. He's a man, contrary to what compromising Christians, some compromising Christians say today. But there is a motherhood figure in the Godhead, and it's the Holy Ghost. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the motherhood figure, because he guides, he cares for us, he comforts us. And so if you want to see a good example of motherhood, you see it in the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what, some mothers, like the Holy Ghost, have made themselves a permanent fixture in the hearts and the inner parts of their children. You understand what I'm saying? Due to mom being there day after day after day, instilling in that child biblical principles, they take mom with them when they leave the home. And every mother should strive to do so. The Bible's filled with examples of godly mothers. Think of Eunice and even Lois, Timothy's grandmother. They instilled within him at an early age how to be saved. It says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How did Timothy know from a young age how to be saved? Because his mommy taught it to him. And Paul said, I've heard and know of your grandmother's faith and of your mother's faith, and I'm confident that that same faith that dwells in them now dwells in you. That faith was passed on to young Timothy. There's examples there of good and godly mothers, and King Lemuel's mother in Proverbs chapter 31. She gives him some motherly advice in that chapter. And what does she tell him? Avoid loose women and strong drink. It's not for you, O King Lemuel. The strong drink will cause you to make improper judgments. And the loose women will get you off track, get you focusing on the wrong thing. And that godly advice has been passed on from mother to mother ever since. Again, I just this morning want to say thank God for mothers. Thank God for the sacrifices they make for each and every one of us. But let us follow the example and sacrifice for one another as well. But that's what Jesus requires of us. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Might it be more real to us this morning as a result of examining it. And I pray, God, that we would indeed be thankful this morning for our mothers and for the sacrifices that they have made for us. Lord, may their sacrifices indeed point us to our Savior, who sacrificed Himself that we could be saved and born again. So again, God, use the message to speak to the hearts of your people. Use it to draw the lost unto thyself, and use it to bring glory unto thyself. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.